Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of the Punks in Suits podcast. Welcome. I have another interview for you today with psychologist Joel Voss. He is a real punk in a suit, and he's talking to me about meaning, about punk, what it really is and why it's relevant for today, and about mental health, and about why the connection between those three topics is so relevant to our world today.
This punkification trend, I think it has to do with being disconnected in a society that is too much ignoring ourselves and our authenticity and who we truly are.
Without further ado, let's go to the interview. So I'm very excited to welcome today's guest, Joel Voss. He's known as the punk professor, something I'm sure we'll talk more about. He's a psychologist. He's a reader in counselling psychology at the University of Roehampton here in the UK. And he has a particular interest in meaning, the meaning of life, I guess. So that's something we're going to come back and talk about for sure. But I'm so excited to finally get this opportunity to talk to you.
Great speaking with you.
So I can see you now, and anyone who's had a look at the Instagram feed when this goes out live will be able to see you as well. You are clearly a punk. There is no doubt about it, certainly from external appearances. Maybe you can start by explaining, I mean, obviously I use the term punk quite frequently. Maybe you can explain where this all started for you and what punk actually is, because it's more than hairstyles and piercings, right?
Oh, absolutely. So I would say when it's about all my looks, etc., because I have a mohawk and I also wear my own clothes that I've made myself, but these are only like, that's only the outside. So, and that's only a relatively recent thing, frankly speaking. So, but I can say I've always been a punk from the inside. So in a punk scene, we often use the term punk attitude. So punk is in the first place an attitude. It's not about the looks, but it's an attitude. And what is punkitude is about is, in the first place, it's about being authentic. So I often use the motto, authenticity, not authority. So that's one of my mottos. So that means, in the first place, we're very sensitive to any forms of oppression. So freedom is at the core of the punk movement. And that's not only a negative freedom about getting rid of any oppression, but it's also having the positive freedom to be creative, to be who we are, to be authentic. So it's about following our own values and not the values of others, and not conforming for the sake of conforming. So the worst you can tell a punk is that they are a poser, they're inauthentic. And that sounds very weird in our society, where often we are told that we need to be perfect, we need to live life to the max, you know? But punk is a response to that by saying, that's not real life, because in reality, life is much more messy, etc. And also there are differences between people, and we enjoy that. We stimulate differences. So punks are very intolerant against intolerance. We are often not afraid of actually saying what's wrong, because too often nowadays people stay silent because they are afraid of what a manager could say or from any social response on the social media. But sometimes it's actually really needed to hear a strong voice. And the last other thing also what punk is about is what I call punkonomics. So punkonomics is not following all the expectations that we have to have, like a company that has the biggest profit or to look smooth, to run everything perfect, etc. No, it's about the DIY, do it yourself. And we also know that from a lot of psychological research that actually what people have this inner freedom, this authenticity, that they're much more creative, much more innovative, the productivity is much larger. So the companies who really make a big change, they have a much more punk culture, I would say, where DIY is stimulated. People that are going against the current. And that is what punk is about. And that's for that reason I'm also always using the phrase punkify your life. and also I would say punkify your workplace.
So there's so much there that I want to come back to, so many places that we could start. Tell me about this, the workplace, because, you know, most workplaces are really places for convention. In fact, it's kind of how they work, is that there is a system and there are processes. And if people start to not comply with the systems and the processes, then actually the whole machine doesn't work. It's been designed to operate that way. And so in that environment, people also have to be quite compliant. They would love to be more punk. They would love to be more irreverent, but they don't want to break the system. So what's your view about that?
I totally agree with you that one of the biggest challenges is being punk in a wider structural system that we can't change immediately ourselves. And that is often people conform out of fear of rejection, fear of failure. But often the thing is, you don't need immediately to have total radical change, because you don't need to really shave a mohawk and start wearing weird clothes like I'm doing. Now, in the first place, it starts with the attitude. It is about how do you relate to the circumstances? How do you cope with it? So you may not change everything, but you may change small pieces within it. What I will say in a minute is that I believe that we are now in a period of a revolution of the workplace, where the workplace is being punkified more and more. Often, although I'm a punk, I am often sitting also at meetings of the boards of even big companies, but particularly small DIY companies, idealistic NGOs, etc. I often start or follow the adage, like what I've already mentioned, of authenticity, not authority. I'm really trying to tell people, okay, even when you are in such a workplace, how can you be authentic within those limitations? We're working hard, we're focusing on the specific tasks that we have to do, but we can't see the bigger perspective. We have lost why we're doing what we're doing. So we're totally disconnected from the larger processes and objectives, for instance, of the company. People have become like robots on the work floor. And due to that, people are less creative, less productive, out of the fear of failure. So it all starts with having a questioning approach to ask yourself, and as a company to ask yourself, why are we doing what we're doing? What are our values behind it? So for instance, a very important part of this culture change is not focusing too strictly on targets. Because a lot of companies, they focus on, okay, you need to reach these goals, etc. Otherwise, you're not productive enough. However, a lot of psychological research shows that the more we focus on targets and goals, the less productive and the less innovative we are. So companies need to create space and a culture where people can be real and not perfect. Spaces for revolutionary things to happen. So also embracing the chaos and the people taking risk and actually also rewarding risk. It also means this change that it's important to try to find authentic meaning in the job. I think that is in the end what I'm saying very much. So often when we do our job, we simply try to get money or simply do the task that we're told. But realize it's more than that. Find the freedom to also find pleasure in it. Focus on that. Develop yourself. Have social connections. Try to develop a sense of belonging to a wider team. Try to contribute to others. Try to contribute to a great product that possibly can improve society. In the end, what I'm actually saying is, there's an attitude behind it of work to live and not live to work.
So why now? I mean, is it driven by technology? Is there something more energetic or even spiritual happening in the world? Or is it just that people have got fed up of this work that kind of kills you? Certainly kills your spirit, if not kills you literally. Why do you think it's happening now?
There's now a phrase coming up in me that reminds me of the philosopher Martin Heidegger. And he was speaking about actually people getting a call from the self to the self when you are not yourself. So I really like that saying. It, you know, that's that kind of philosophical poetry almost. But what he was actually saying is, like, in our technological and functional society, we have become disconnected almost from what's really meaningful, what's authentic to us. What happens is that when you do that long enough, when you get disconnected and alienated from what's really important to you, that will create tensions. And after a while, that will come up, that will burst out of the system. So in the first place, we see that never in history has been such a big mental health crisis, particularly amongst middle-aged men within the higher professions. And that all has to do with not being able to do what's authentically meaningful, not having that freedom in the workspace, in the workplace. The other thing is very much, I think, but it's just like in the social media, it's giving us all the time the idea, I need to go on holiday, I need to do those extreme adventures, I need to have a drink, I need to do that, I need to do that. But the thing is, we have totally lost and we've forgotten what it really means, for instance, to be off a job. We need to reinvent actually again to learn how to relax. So what we've seen in businesses is that businesses and companies have starting to become managed, focused on targets. That first started in the workplace. But then actually we've started also to manage our own lives. We've started to manage actually our relationships. We see relationships as targets. So how many Facebook friends do you have? How many Twitter followers do you have? But in the end, we're human beings. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's about authenticity, what really matters. So we're being told by the commercials, like, live life to the max. But that often doesn't work. Because in the end, you know, we're still the same human beings as we've always been in over thousands of years. That has not suddenly changed, that we can reach the max. This kind of punkification trend, as I'm calling it, I think that has to do with actually being disconnected in a society that has been too much ignoring ourselves and our authenticity and who we truly are.
So how do you go about finding meaning? I mean, you know, I've worked with clients for nearly two decades trying to help them and myself, of course, to discover what's it all about. And sometimes trying to answer that question in itself creates dissatisfaction. Because you think to yourself, I should have a bigger purpose, I should have some meaning, I don't, and therefore I'm wasting my life. You know, so you've done a lot of work in this area. What does meaning actually mean to you, and how do you create it in your life?
Yeah, so I think that you're already saying or implying something really important, that is that the search of meaning may be more important than actually having a fixed answer, because there are no fixed definitive answers. So what I'm often saying is, when I use the term meaning, it's not the meaning of life in capitals, you know. Possibly in the past centuries, we had such an idea, you know, where the church or philosophers, they were creating an illusion, the myth, as if there is the big meaning of life. Possibly there is, but I don't know. I'm not aware of it because I was not born with an instruction manual given at birth. I didn't get an instruction manual telling me this is the meaning of your life. So, but despite of that, we are all able to live a meaningful life, despite of being skeptic, of really not knowing what's truth, what's not, but we are able to live a meaningful life. When I use the term meaning, I've done a lot of research on it, and I've published a lot of it on it. So meaning is a very well-defined phenomenon in psychology that is distinctive from experiences such as happiness, peak experiences, or, for instance, depression. So meaning is about our motivations, our deeper motivations, our values, understanding ourselves and the world around us, setting goals, being effective in daily life, believing in ourselves, etc. So things like that. So I also did a study in which I looked in 45,000 people worldwide, where people were asked, what do you see as meaningful? So 45,000 people from all countries, from all continents, they were saying five different types of meaning. So in the first place, people find meaning in material and hedonic meanings. So that's, for instance, finding meaning and being productive and getting money, having financial safety, having us drink, reading a book, going to the cinema. So material hedonic stuff, that's one. Second is self-oriented meanings. That's very much about self-development, self-care, also being resilient, so developing your own skills. The third types of meanings are social meanings. Social meanings is the sense of belonging to a bigger community, but also having deep connections with people, authentic connections to people that are not only material or hedonic connections, but true, seeing the other person as a true other person, but also contributing to their well-being, being altruistic. And then there are the higher meanings. Higher meanings are about trying to create the world into a better place and really trying to improve society, to really contribute to the well-being of others, you know. And then there are the existential philosophical meanings. That's like some people find it meaningful just to be aware of the freedom, of the uniqueness. So that's more the abstract touch. So what you see is there are those five different types of meaning: material hedonic meanings, self-oriented meanings, social meanings, higher meanings, and the existential philosophical meanings. What we usually do is, because I give a lot of therapy and a lot of coaching, a lot of also business counseling, where I explore each of these types of meaning and I ask, okay, where do you find meaning in a material way? How do you find meaning in a self-oriented way? Because people often have multiple meanings at the same time, which makes people also more resilient. So for instance, if you are a person who always is totally focused on getting more money or getting more success, what happens if you lose your job, if you're not successful? And I've been working a lot with cancer patients, for instance. What I always hear is they were so much focused on the career, on the business, and suddenly they can't do that anymore. And then they come into a big crisis because they realize, wow, that only thing that makes my life worthwhile to live has now gone. So therefore, I start building a broader base of different types of meaning. And what we see is that this improves the quality of life very strongly in people. The psychological stress reduces, and actually also the physical well-being improves with an immune system working better, also like blood pressure improves, etc. So this is all related to what I was saying before about that we seem to live in a society, in a system that seems to have ignored or forgotten to really focus on what's truly meaningful to us. But by helping people to connect again with that, you see, you can improve the well-being of individuals extremely quickly.
I really like this sort of five level or five aspects of meaning, because, and it does remind me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I know you've written a little about the existential, what comes beyond self-actualization in his model. But one of the reasons that I really like this is that actually there is meaning in the material side of things, in the being productive and making money. And I wonder if sometimes we feel bad about our work, or we feel bad that we give so much time to it, or we feel bad that we make money from it, and so we don't value what it's doing for us. And that in itself is a valid meaning. Now, of course, you can be completely out of sync with it, and that can be the only thing that you're doing, and the only thing you have time for, and the only thing you think about. But I'm imagining, you know, people at work who they have the opportunity to. I used to do some work for a big pharmaceutical company, and they had this fantastic office building, a purpose-built office building. Then the downstairs was like a marketplace, and there were coffee shops and a hairdressers and all of these kind of lovely things, like a village. And people would go down there and they would have their meetings down there, and they would have their lunch down there, and they would chat to people while they were having their haircut. But they always felt, the people that I was coaching there sometimes felt that the only bit of their day that had any meaning was those things. And then they had to get back to their real job and, you know, the graft. And actually, if they had understood that the graft is meaningful too, the graft has value as well. And doing a job for the money sometimes that might be the only reason you do the job, is valid and meaningful.
I think I totally agree with you. What we know from a lot of research is that the material hedonic meanings and the self-oriented meanings, on the long term, they are associated with lower well-being, more psychological stress, also less productivity. But at the same time, there is a big value in being productive, doing manual stuff as well. And just being proud after a long day of working to have said, yes, I've done so much. You know, having that achievement, that's also very important.
Now, I know that mental health is a big interest of yours, and you talked there about levels of mental health or mental illness actually have never been worse as far as we know. Do you think that the punk attitude, the punkifying your life, and particularly what you're talking about around meaning, is the answer to that?
Yeah, so the thing is, of course, I'm not totally pretentious that I'm saying that I have the answer to all problems. Of course not. But what I've seen is to help people refocus on what's meaningful, despite of their limitations, despite of the struggles they're in, to really have a new focus again on what really matters, helps a lot of people. And it is possible, because the thing is, it's also important to believe that change is possible, because change is possible. So possibly we may not be able to really change the full context we're in. We may not be able to change the full system we live in. But it starts with the small changes in our daily lives. For instance, often when I'm in the underground, because I look quite punk, I'm quite obvious about it, a lot of people, they respond to me. I have a lot of conversations on the tube. And I would almost say that's in the first place the reason why I'm punk, except for, of course, being myself, being authentic. But I love it that I'm giving a message like, yes, you can be yourself. Not everyone can be looking like a punk, etc., but people are able to make a small change. So by actually showing an alternative to the system, to the conformism that's going on, I'm saying change is possible. Because what we also see is that we live in an era of a new form of conformism, of conservatism, where difference is more difficult than before. So we need punk nowadays more than ever, possibly even more than in the 70s, because there's a very strong conformist culture, particularly like on social media. Often it's like that conformism is not on the surface, it's deeper, you know? These are the implicit messages we often get from our friends or from our colleagues, like, of course, we're totally tolerating, you're totally fine, whoever, however you look, but. So it's a famous story from the philosopher Zizek, who gave the example of parents who are teaching their children. So in the past, a child could say, yeah, I don't really want to go to grandmother. And the parents would say, you have no wish, you simply come. Nowadays, it goes different, where the parents ask the child, okay, would you possibly be interested in going to grandmother? Nah, I don't want today. But then parents are saying, yeah, but, you know, grandmother will be really sad. You know, oh, that will be so horrible for her. She will be crying all the time if you don't come. I feel totally free. It's your decision. We seem very tolerant, but at the same time, we become much more manipulative. That is also the result from, you know, the invention of public relations, from Bernays, what I was telling before. So it is very important to actually become aware again of, okay, what's really going on? What's going on there? How am I being manipulated?
As we come towards the end of the interview, there's a couple of events that you have coming up that we definitely want to talk about, partly because I'm involved in one of them, but also that the event in the summer, which sounds fantastic. So the first date for People's Diary is the week of the 27th of March, and there are a number of activities, a number of events that you've got going on that week that people might like to know more about. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what's happening that week.
Oh, absolutely. In the week from the 27th of March until the 1st of April of 2017, we are organizing Punk for Mental Health. And as a true punk, our four is not written out, but it's a number. So punk and a Number four, mental health. So what we're doing is we have a week long where we're actually celebrating punk and the importance of punk for mental health. It only started with some small initiatives, but we have attracted so many other people who actually come up, who have come to us and saying, yeah, I also want to organize something. I also want to contribute. So from just having one evening, suddenly it has become a movement and a full week of activities that's exploding around this topic, actually all about the topics that we've been speaking about today. We want to break the stigma. That's the main message that the musicians will tell, the artists will tell, a lot of the speakers will tell. So in the end, it is very much about speaking and focusing about mental health and how can we punkify your life. And this actually offers kind of thinking back of actually a punk psychiatrist from who actually was together with the Sex Pistols. They was together on the stage in the 70s. His name was Artie Lang. He was part of the so-called anti-psychiatry movement. And he was saying we can meet people without masks. And it is important to meet people without masks. And a lot of the pressure that some people has to do with the masks we're wearing all the time.
Fantastic. It's an amazing, amazing week of events. And obviously I'm involved in the one at the beginning of the week, but hopefully we'll be able to attend some of the others because it sounds fantastic. And then the other event that you're working towards, although I know you're pretty obsessed at the moment with what's happening at the end of March, but you've got the International Meaning conference as well. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because it's still possible for people to get the early bird price if they book pretty soon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This summer, we are organizing at our center the first UK-based International Meaning conference, Joining Forces in Practice and Research. So this is a three-day conference where different people connect, and all of us, we are looking at the topic, how can we live a meaningful life despite of the circumstances that we're in? How can we, for instance, also transform businesses to actually enable our employees, our customers, to focus more on what's authentic and meaningful? There will be a lot of really famous international speakers who will be there. Really, all the big experts in the fields will be there. For instance, Paul Wong, who has been running the International Meaning Conference in Canada for over a decade. He's very famous. He's done lots of research on meaning. So there will also be Michael Steger. Michael Steger, he has done loads of research on meaning in work. He is the big expert on that. People can check that out on our Facebook, which is IMEC, International Meaning Conference. But we also have a website, meaning.org.uk. And on that website, all information is there, also how to register. We also have an early bird registration. That means that before the 30th of March, people need to have registered to save more than £100. And if people also have accommodation, because we offer accommodation during the 3 days, they can get even more reductions. And I'm sure that a lot of people are also thinking, yeah, I would also like to share my experiences. Absolutely. You're very welcome. So please send an abstract with your ideas, what you want to present and the format, how you want to present. And we will select the great ideas because we have a broad committee who will actually select all the right talks, etc. And also the deadline for that is also the 30th of March. And all instructions can be found on meaning.org.uk.
Well, look, I can't wait for both of those events. They sound amazing. And it's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you a really different way about thinking about ourselves, our authenticity, how to find meaning, and how to practically do this.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Joel and got a few nuggets from it. It's always so interesting to see topics from a different perspective like the one Joel brings. No Ivy today. I'm recording this late at night and she's in bed. So I'll just mention that it's great to hear from you. Do please stay in touch on Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, Twitter at Blair Palmer, or email me blair@thatpeoplething.com. The updated That People Thing website is currently being built, and the hope is that in a few weeks, you'll be able to access this podcast and other resources directly from the site. I'll keep you in the loop about that. Meanwhile, please do check out Joel on Facebook. Go to the Punk for Mental Health Facebook page and please do come to some of the events. I'll be taking part in the event on March 27th at the Retro Bar in London from 7 till 9:30 p.m. But there's plenty more happening, so just check out that page to find out the whole agenda for the week. And also, there is a Facebook page for the International Meaning Conference London. The event is June 30th to July 2nd, 2017. And again, just go onto Facebook and look for International Meaning Conference London, and the page should just appear. Have a great week. I hope you get up to some really fun stuff. I hope you're a little bit punk this week, and we'll have more for you next time.